Welcome to Dominate for Two, a War Machine and Hordes podcast.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Alex.
I'm Benjamin.
And today we're going to talk about how to recover from a bad turn. So something that happens all the time when we're playing War Machine, we'll go into how it happens. But basically, someone takes something from you that you loved and weren't expecting it to happen, and now you have to deal with that. So that's kind of my definition of a bad turn. Do you agree? Do you have anything to add as to what that would be?
I guess when a turn differs from anticipation, either from maneuvering failure, dice failure, or your opponent simply playing really well and putting you in a very tough spot, a bad turn can be a very well-executed turn won by your opponent, and you look at that and go, ugh, I can't do my plan at all now.
I would say for me, 100% of the time, it's because I executed something, good or bad, that's not the issue here, and my execution fails because of dice, and then I'm left with the almost constant decision-making matrix where I'm like, okay, the thing that should have worked failed, and then my backup thing also failed. So how do I scrap out some sort of maybe not loss out of this scenario?
Yeah. Well, so that's the important thing is like the factor that leads to a bad turn, like analyzing how you deal with a bad turn, the factors that lead to it may be like dice or your opponent's play or any, you know, failure in execution. And that's whatever in the past, that's what it is. But going forward and like acting on a bad turn, for me, it occurs as always being a question of positioning, like how you analyze a bad turn going forward is a positioning question.
So I guess let's just hammer out exactly how they happen then, because I think there's a few things that happen. Dice is a good one where you go in to initiate a trade on a heavy and you just don't get it. Molg's a perfect example of that. Like you come up two boxes short and Molg takes a heavy. That's a huge problem. But also, sometimes this casters force you to have a bad turn. Haley 2 is like the prime example of this. Mm-hmm. Or Sorsha or Krios or Kruger 2. Almost like that's the definition of control. So I think that's why this is an important topic. Mm-hmm. Like, even if you're playing perfectly, someone can make you have a bad turn. And a bad turn, in my opinion, is something where you have to work hard to be up on the trade again. Or you have to move things to contest a zone. That's my other definition of a bad turn, where your stuff doesn't get to do work anymore. Like, you don't get to play the turn and shoot what you want to blunt their army. You literally just have to take a turn doing not what you want to do to stop from losing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's there's some Sun Tzu in that. You know, the acme of excellence is put yourself constantly beyond the possibility of defeat and then wait for your opponent to become defeatable. If a bad turn, you're in trouble, something's gone wrong, I think, your immediate response should be damage control, make sure you don't lose, and get yourself back to a place of security. Because if it starts to get compounded by loss over loss, even if you continue to inflict damage effectively, like, you're already behind. You don't want to continue trading. You want to retrench. And if you can trade up, it's not actually a bad turn.
Yeah, I mean, I find for myself, the biggest thing to getting wins is to just keep playing for the win, even after everything goes wrong. Because there's been a lot of games I've pulled out where I had no right to win, but I just refused to give up playing for the win. And, you know, on Saturday, that game against Menoth, you know, when my assassinations failed, I had put my entire army into that. Like, that was my entire game plan. Mm-hmm. It totally washed out. And then I played for the only win I had left, which was not running Haliadis Caster, which would have been hilarious, but going for a scenario. And if I hadn't continued to play for the win, he would have easily won that game. Mm-hmm. And that's happened to me a bunch of times where I've still managed to get wins in random ways because I just kept forcing the play for it.
Yeah, and even if it never pans out, like, it's always worth it to stick in there the three extra rounds and like keep trying to win.
Yeah, I think the natural inclination when you're having a bad turn or you feel like it's bad is to go in for the low percentage assassination. And I'd say most of the time that's the wrong play. Like, if you feel like you're at a disadvantage, don't just go, oh, I should try to kill him because I'm going to lose. Mm-hmm. Like, you can turn that out eventually. What you should look at is your best treat it as a normal turn. Treat it like you're winning, even though you're just, say you spotted someone 20 points. How are you going to win this game? Like, what's the best way to do that?
Well, and that bad response is something you see all the time, especially when it's your opponent causing you to have a bad turn. For example, a strong defensive feat like Ragnar's or somebody like that. Like, I see this all the time. The biggest wrong mistake, if your opponent's positioned well and effectively in a solid, like, advancing up the board early game formation, is if players continue with their plan and just attempt to attack and do attrition normally. It's like, why are you attacking their heavies under that defensive buff? Like, you're just going to lose.
Yeah, there's a big difference between a bad turn and an unproductive turn. Like, it's okay just to back up and contest, especially, like, against Ragnar.
So that one is obviously bad, and you can say, like, okay, you are a beginner and you made this mistake. The next step up, though, is people trying to go for the assassination. And I hear, like, all the time, people trying to kill Wyrmwood through his feet or trying to kill whatever caster through their feet. And it's like, but why? You know, I understand that an outcome to you where you retrench and play for a win later is not immediately clear because your plan is disrupted. But going for the low odds assassination, like, it's almost a subset of attacking someone when they're strongest.
I mean, just comes to, you know, keeping your head down and moving forward with a plan, even if it's not the plan you wanted, because War Machine tends to be a game you can still win with a lot of non-optimal pieces if you just keep focused on what you need to do. Because I've had a ton of random things that just shouldn't have gotten as much work done or just were in the way because, you know, there's a lot of positioning, and sometimes that random guy in the wrong place wins you a game.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, I've had plenty of games where I had a piece I hadn't intended to be in the right place, ended up being in the right place because I kept looking for other opportunities. Whereas, you know, I could have just also buried it into something that wouldn't have gotten me a lot.
For me, a lot of bad turns, my natural response is to, you know, try and low odds assassination, but pushing that down. Often the right solution is back up. Just retreat, just contest. Wait another turn, set up, like, almost pretend the bad part of your turn didn't happen and focus on coming back from that.
Yeah, I think the right play most of the time is usually a bad turn by a misplay means there's a heavy that took something from you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you kind of just take your bad turn, clean up that heavy however you can. You still have most of your army. Back up so you don't lose more stuff and then start over again. They'll be up something, but hopefully you get to turn 5 where you can assassinate. I think the bad thing to do is to assassinate directly after the bad turn, because if it truly was a bad turn, they should be set up to not have that happen. You kind of want to wait for them to make a mistake.
Yeah, and if you have to continue engaging, or, like, if your opponent gets to continue the cascade caused by a mismaneuver or a heavy bouncing off another heavy, you know, I think what you need to start doing in that situation then is forcing your opponent to pay for things more, like drag pieces out of formation to keep the win compounded, and spend resources to get to you and cross distance and all these things for the goal of eventually killing them. Yeah. Like, start making your opponent, you know, have to be constantly on the spend, and then get them when they're at their lowest.
Yeah, basically switch the win condition. Like, if they are going to start trading up in heavies, make them at least come out of a scenario so you can maybe steal that zone from them.
Yeah.
Like, take a point here or there where they weren't expecting it and get back in the game that way.
Well, and if it's a piece trade and you either made an error or had a bounce, because your piece is right there, your opponent's spend is actually at the lowest it's ever going to be. So it is the worst time to attempt to assassinate. And yeah, if you can start winning on other vectors with the ultimate goal of winning on, like, assassination, you know, yeah, that's really important.
Yeah. Do you have any, like, specific games? Because I have one that comes to mind. Probably one of the worst turns I ever had. So I was playing in one of my first LVOs. I was playing Runes of War into Morvana 2. And Morvana 2 was running the Woldrath, Reeves, 3 War Dogs stuff list. I hadn't seen it before. So Hunter's Mark from a Black Clad, Skinwalkers and 3 Dogs Kill Molg, bottom of 1. Super bad.
Mm-hmm.
But it was Incursion. And instead of just, like, going for a weird assassination or just jamming the field, slowly start clearing stuff off. Runeshapers are holding flags. Ends up getting down to like 4-3. I have killed the Woldwrath, killed everything except like a Wold Watcher and some stuff. Contesting everything, actually getting back on attrition over like 6 turns. Morvana has to kill one Runeshaper after taking like 6 damage. Misses a few attacks, has to reroll the to hits, taking D3 damage each time. Has no more beasts that she can transfer to. I tough 2 times, and she has to make an attack and kills herself. So that was definitely my best example of recovering from a bad turn. But it was a miserable game that I had to slog through to get to that position.
Well, my favorite example, I mean, of course, this last weekend, I mean, I won a game with 3 models left, which was me just moving forward, but we talked about that. My favorite one was years ago at Kublai Khan, where I was playing a Vlad 2 list into a Denny 2. Mm-hmm. And
the epitome of a bad turn.
Right. And so what happened was is that I thought I had gotten enough stuff in the way, and I clearly hadn't. Denny 2's feat obviously happened. All these things went wrong. At the end of that, I had 4 models on the table. I had Vlad 2, a War Dog, and 2 Ulans. And that was after, of course, the feat turned the turn after that. And I was basically lost my army, my jacks, everything. And, of course, with Vlad 2 and the Ulans, I was able to pull out a win because I was able to get to Denny 2 with a feated Ulan. But I literally won the game only by killing 1 model, but by just keeping in it and trying to figure out how could I win it, like what's available. And it's very frustrating having your army not only stalled, but then just wiped in front of you without doing anything back.
Yeah, that blows.
And I thought for sure I was going to lose. I mean, I was really I just took the Hail Mary because what else was there to do? And literally it was like Vlad had to kill 2 models, feet on the Ulan, and then I just had the angle to land a single feated lance on her.
Yeah.
And fortunately, obviously, it was enough because the feated lance, you know, it was time, it was pound 19, mat 11, you know.
Yeah, like, you're like, you're hitting her on 5s and dice up 5.
Right. But, like, that was it. Like, if that had failed to kill her, that was 100% game. There's nothing I could have done. And it was also, my opponent had gotten a little lazy because he had not killed all the Ulans, even though he actually could have. Because he felt that, I mean, reasonably, having killed 95% of my army, he felt that he was in a pretty good place.
Yeah. That actually happens a lot. When someone's so far up, not the turn right after, but the turn after that, they're so confident that they usually open themselves up to some sort of mistake.
Right.
As long as you stick around, you'll usually have one more window to win the game before it definitely closes.
And
out.
He also, like, he could have positioned to avoid that, but because everything was so dead, he got sloppy on the guards around her.
Keeping yourself, if your opponent has had a bad turn or if you're in a winning position, like, keeping that, like, that sort of crazy elation from causing you to lose is super important. And this is something I've struggled with in the past, and why, you know, I'll say my late game play is a big, gigantic mess, you know, because I don't have a great amount of experience fighting in a situation where I'm up and, like, maintaining that effectively, or, like, you know, I'm just still working on the experience necessary to sustain that. But it's rare that you have those games.
Yeah.
Realizing when your opponent is in a bad place and slow rolling a little bit more just to make sure you're safe is really important.
Yeah. It's just like you have your, you just don't want to let your foot off the gas when you are looking at the other side. When you are winning that way, don't give them an out. Like, take the 1 point in scenario if there's no way you're going to lose and just contest everything else. Like, make it super bad for them and give them no possibility. Like,
right. Yeah. Don't dominate for 2 if it's not going to cause you to win on your next turn or whatever.
Take the 2 extra turns. If you're really that far up, like, take some more time and do it right.
Yeah.
Don't go for an assassination just because you can and they're, like, almost tabled.
So one of the things that's emerging from this conversation, which I think is very important, is if you are the person who has had a bad turn, for 1 turn and 1 turn only, your goal needs to be not losing. I am 100% an advocate of always being focused on not winning. And it's maybe, you know, tied into the Sun Tzu thing, because by default you should be in a position of not losing right away. But if something goes wrong, if something doesn't go according to plan, you've put yourself in a position where immediate loss is possible. And your number one priority needs to be preventing that. And then afterward, like, get yourself safe and then re-engage in winning the game. But your number one priority on a bad turn is not losing. Like, I had, when I was last down in L.A. for the Star Wars event, I had a game against Lewis, another Kador player, and he had, you know, I had just brain farted. He ran both units of his Black Dragons forward and Iron Zealed, and I'm like, all this infantry can be in Sorsha's control range. Walk forward, pop feet. And he makes eye contact with me and goes, Iron Zeal stops stationary. I'm like, yes, it does.
Oh, no.
And so I still had, you know, I still had a wind rush left and I still had some hand cannons left. But I immediately had to, like, you know, go into full reverse on that plan. Like, literally almost everything in my army moved backwards. And then I, like, took some shots to, you know, make points happen in at least one place, and I had to give up some reprisals. But the entire battle happened 6 inches backwards from where it would have otherwise, because I made this error. Had I not immediately started reversing, I would have lost then and there. Like, if I maintained position on everything and tried to execute according to plan anyways, I would have just lost. So it's so important to, like, be prepared to reevaluate your turn and immediately pivot. There's a lot of people, like, after a failed trade or a failed, like, something induced by their own error, will still continue with the old plan. And that's, you can't do it because you're now in a place where you can lose.
Yeah, knowing when to abort on the plan is probably helps you not have a bad turn.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably the key, is pinpointing what could cause a bad turn and learning to not put yourself in that place as much as you can. Especially scenario. I find, like, my worst turns are when I'm in a really bad spot in scenario and I find myself having to run to contest because I didn't see something to turn soon enough, where I'm like, oh, this was a scenario play. I'm outside of scenario. I have to stop doing what I wanted to do and only run everything to flood the zone. And now it's just a game of, can you kill my stuff fast enough before I lose?
All right. Well, do we have anything more on this?
No, just cause the bad turns, then you don't have to worry about
it. Yeah, well, and also very importantly, like, keep in mind when you're causing the bad turns. I had one of those at Adepticon, actually, because it is very important to also be cognizant of your opponents. Like, once you become aware of this whole realm of fighting, it's very important then to start being aware of your opponent's state of mind. I had a game where I was going second against a Signar player, and I was running Rasheth, and I was just doing my standard Titan Brick thing. Like, I'd been playing that army for almost 4 years. I'd reduced it to pretty much an optimal stock opening. I do the stock opening, not realizing that what I'm doing is putting him in an extremely precarious situation where, like, he's going to lose in 3 turns, almost guaranteed. And I didn't realize that I was making him go for it right away, because this opening was giving him a bad turn. And, you know, I didn't acknowledge that my opponent's state was that. And I moved Rasheth, like, just barely up to where it was possible. And he got it. And I lost the game. Like, knowing when you're inflicting a bad turn on your opponent will tell you something about, if they're good, what their calculations are going to be.
Yeah, I mean, I know that I've definitely reinforced, especially those Haley 2, because Haley 2 is the queen of bad turn givers. I've reinforced that by doing things where I often just sacrifice something, and it doesn't necessarily earn its place except for against the opponent's planning, because I'll drop something in a position where my opponent will not realize I could get there with Haley's tricks, and it will make them even more cautious, which is very important for the scoring rhythm, because if they're not being cautious, they'll flood in and it'll put me in a harder position to score from. Whereas if I've made them cautious, if I've made them very nervous about what I can do by reaching out and touching things, they'll often not be as aggressive and I'll get the score much easier. And that's important. It also keeps Haley safer because they see too many vectors all of a sudden and they get really nervous. And I've gotten that off a bunch of times where my aggression alone is enough to really make them question how the game's going to play.
Right. Yeah. So you send them contradictory signals to what best practices are.
Right.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, because you really want to bully Haley too for her space. And if you don't, it's just bad.
Right.
All right. Oh, that's a short one.
Yeah, but...
Short but good.
Yeah.
Yep.
Cool.
Awesome.
Thank you for listening to Dominate for Two. Find us on Facebook and Twitter. Got a question or an episode idea? Email us at dominateforto.podcast@gmail.com.
I saw us start recording, make sure levels are good. Ben, sure. You ready?
You 1, 2, 1, 2.
Oh, God damn it. Just make sure your mic's in the right place.
Is it the right place now?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
That's probably not the right place.
Just got to make eye contact every time you make those noises. Oh, yeah.
Gross.
I love podcasting.